I had a former customer. They were able to identify very quickly that some weird stuff had happened at ADCS, but thankfully the attacker was not skilled enough to take it much further. They just had to burn that entire ADCS part down. I mean, everything. Like, they went scorched earth all the way up to the root.
Hi, everyone. Before we start with today's interview, we're holding our annual Hybrid Identity Protection, HIP, conference in Charleston, South Carolina at Charleston Place, October 7th through the 9th. The HIP conference and HIP community were created to educate, connect, and support the professionals working daily to protect hybrid identity environments from modern cyber threats. We have distinguished speakers from both the private and public sector, such as former director of CISA, Jen Easterly, and former national cyber director, Chris Inglis. Whatever your role or industry, if your organization runs on-prem Active Directory and in the cloud Entra ID or Okta, the HIP conference is for you. Go to hipconf.com, that's hipconf.com, to sign up. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the HIP podcast. I'm your host, Sean Duby, Principal Technologist America for Semperis. Active Directory, as we refer to it today, is technically only one component of a suite of on-premises identity-related Microsoft roles for Windows Server. Its full name evolved into Active Directory Domain Services, ADDS, so it could be co-branded with several other services that controlled Microsoft identity, Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS, and Active Directory Certificate Services, ADCS. There was one more identity-related Windows Server role, Microsoft Identity Manager, that mysteriously never made it into this product family, even though it's a critical component of many organizations' IT infrastructures still, and it survived four product renamings. But that's a topic for another day. Though ADFS and ADCS are related to ADDS, actually deploying them and administering them is an almost completely different skill set than Active Directory. I've talked about ADFS in a previous episode with MVP Sandra Burkauer. And ADCS, well, my guess is that there are more ADCS implementations today than there are ADFS, especially since SolarWinds gave ADFS a black eye. So, what is Active Directory Certificate Services? In a nutshell, it's PKI for the on-premises Active Directory Windows Server Enterprise. It acts as a certificate authority for issuing and managing digital certificates, and this allows it to boost authentication for users, devices, and services through these certificates and more. And because it's a Windows Server role, the setup wizard is pretty straightforward. But installing a certificate authority, even if you have a nice wizard, is not something you can easily change once it's running, and especially once it started issuing certificates. I think that many IT administrators today will tell you their ADCS appears to be running okay, but they don't really know. It was probably installed a long time ago, and the people that installed it have either retired or left the company. And a number of vulnerabilities in ADCS have heightened the need to understand and protect it better. So if this resonates with you, you'll definitely want to pay attention. Because my guest today is Jake Hildreth, Principal Security Consultant here at Semperis, Microsoft MVP, and, quote, longtime builder of tools that make identity security suck a little less, unquote. With nearly 25 years in IT and the battle scars to prove it, he specializes in helping organizations secure Active Directory and survive the Baroque disaster that is Active Directory Certificate Services. Welcome, Jake.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, Sean.
It's great to have you on here. We've had these conversations over the months about sort of getting together and really diving a little bit into certificate services, because it's so widely, if not misunderstood, simply not understood. And yet it's a critical part of so many organizations' IT infrastructures. So maybe let's start with this by asking, why are people afraid of certificates? What is it about certificates that can give people the willies or make them feel uncomfortable?
Every time I think about certificates, right, it's immediately hit with a wall of like, what does that mean? How does that work, right? Like a username and a password for me, it's easy to understand. This is my name. This is my magic word I need to say to get into a thing, right? But now I could just hand you a certificate and you know both my name and that I am who I say I am. It's just, that's a big change. And then you look a little more into it and there's like these weird math terms about how it works, you know, talking about factorization and large primes and trapdoor functions. And you're like, what is that? And then, you know, the more common terms that you might hit, the what's a symmetric key versus an asymmetric key? What's a key? How are keys exchanged? Like all this stuff is just, there's a lot of theory that it seems like you need to know in order to properly administer it. And to some part, that's true to set things up securely and whatnot, but to use it, you don't need to be afraid of that sort of thing. So I think it's a little bit of that. It's the fear of the unknown, but then also like we talked about before, you know, when it's running, you don't ever have to touch it. And so that's also, it's like Active Directory in that way, right? Like could just run for forever. You don't really have to know what you're doing with it for a lot of it until something breaks. And then you're like, oh no. Oh no.
Well, I know. I mean, certificate services and the terminology can be intimidating also if you look a little bit into it, because you actually have ceremonies to do things.
Right.
And you get into larger organizations and you get into special hardware that you have to buy and you have to go to a place and you have to do things. And all of that makes it very intimidating to climb your way into.
It's like occult knowledge, right? Like you almost have to be like a member of the secret society to get a lot of it.
And isn't that what IT is about? It's about the in jargon, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So yeah, all right. So you're right. I mean, I think people recognize that these things are intimidating, or as I said, they've got essentially nothing to do with Active Directory. Except that it
right.
is, except that there is an integration with Active Directory. So I guess that leads to the question, what are the basics of what certificate services are, or indeed what PKI is?
Well, let's start with that. And I actually did produce some slides that we could take a look at. And just making it really simple of what we are talking about with symmetric, asymmetric, signing, etc.
And why it's good compared to user ID and passwords, right?
right, exactly.
You're doing that. I'm just thinking about really certificates is because all of the web is, the internet is untrusted networks. It's certificates are what makes, even with these examples you're giving, certificates are what make the world go round nowadays.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, we could go back into that. You know, we didn't actually touch on why it was built, why PKI was created in the first point, but like, yeah, how do you transfer information across an untrusted network easily, right? And this is the first form, symmetric encryption, right? That means you and I both know the same little piece of information, which we're going to call a key, right? And back in the day, this was, you know, the Caesar cipher, right? You move X number of letters over, and you and I both know how many number of letters we're going to move over. So I could send you something that has been moved, say, 7 letters to the right. You receive it, and you know it's 7, and you move it 7 letters to the left. How did I transfer that 7 to you? That's the difficulty of a symmetric encryption, right? Now you need a secure channel to communicate with initially in order to transfer this information over an unsecure channel. So what we just described there, right? transmitting that key securely
right.
is incredibly difficult. It really is incredibly difficult.
If you're not two Romans standing face to face, right?
Exactly, exactly. And even if you are two Romans standing face to face, I've heard something about something in the back occasionally in March. Who knows?
Right.
So that's why asymmetric encryption came about. One key in asymmetric encryption is used to encrypt. Typically, that's called the private key. And one is used to decrypt, typically called the public key. But in certain encryption schemes, they can actually be swapped, and you can encrypt with one and decrypt with the other. That's how we're going to talk about it today. But in this instance, you keep your private key to yourself, and I keep my private key to myself. I tell you to encrypt with my public key, right? It's right in the name. It can be shared amongst everyone. And when you want to send me information, you encrypt it with that with my public key, and then I decrypt it with my private key. Easy peasy. And then we talked about, we didn't actually bring up hashing, but hashing is important to the next thing we're going to talk about. Hashing is basically a one-way function that converts any piece of data into a fixed length representation of the data, right? So as we can see on the screen here, we've got Sean Rules and also Sean Rules and Jake Drools. They are different lengths, right? The initial text that we're putting into them, but the output is the same length. We use hashing when we want to talk about signing, right? Signing is proof of authorship. Just like you write up a contract to me and you sign at the end with your name, I know that you signed that. Let's not take forgery into account and all of that stuff, but you now have signed it. You say, this is my proof of authorship to you. Electronic signing is the same thing, except for you could easily encrypt an entire message to me, and then I could decrypt it, right? What if I want that message to be public? For example, I'm sending you some code that I want you to be able to interpret. I don't want to encrypt that. I don't want to make it hard for you to read it. I want it to be easy for you to read. In order for me to say that, yes, I truly did write this, I take a hash of that code, of that source code. I now have a hash, and I encrypt just the hash. Then I send the hash and the unencrypted original source code together. And then you are able to verify or decrypt that little bit of a hash. And then I can create a hash from the source code and match it. Does it match your hash that you sent me? If yes, that means you sent it to me, and you cannot repudiate that. It's wild.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important point. And one for me that took a while for it to sink in, which, and you said it in the previous slide, that is that a hash is a one-way process. You're not going right. to encrypt the hash. The most that can happen is that you can use your key to decrypt to down to the hash, and then you're just basically saying that hash matches this hash. You don't know what's in right. the hash. You just know that they match.
Yep, exactly. All of that, right? Asymmetric encryption, hashing, signing, all required to bring us to certificates. And I worked with certificate services for like 4 years until I understood what the heck a certificate actually was. And like, I knew that there was the public key that could be shared amongst the world. And I also knew that there were these like, why do I have to enter my city and my principality and whatever the weird things that they are when you're, you know, filling in a certificate signing request. All a certificate is takes that public key and all of those attributes and creates a hash and encrypts it. And that's when you get like a self-signed certificate, right? It's me saying, here's my public key, here are all my attributes, and also I encrypted it with the public key that's included in the certificate. So like, I am self-signing that the public key that I signed this with is correct. And that's why you get a warning about it when you're surfing the web and you hit somewhere that's got a self-signed certificate, right? It's that server is saying to you that I am the server. It's very much, have you seen the Obama putting the metal on himself meme.
No,
it's very much that. Yes, it's yeah.
It's a bit. So what you're saying is the issuer is saying this is legit, really.
Exactly.
Basically what you're saying, and certainly in internal networks and other places like that, where you have a reasonable expectation, where you used to have a reasonable expectation that it was trustworthy. There are instances where self-signed certificates are okay.
Testing purposes, right? You're doing a test internally for yourself and you just stood up a small web server and you just want to do that. Cool. Perfect for that. But how do I know that that certificate was valid? How do I know that it's still valid? How do I know who issued it, et cetera? That's where certification authorities come in. And you may ask why there's a picture of a RAM on the screen.
Why is there a picture of a RAM on the screen?
I don't know. I did a little icon search in PowerPoint for authority, and this is what it gave me. I thought it was appropriate. So a certification authority, like you said earlier, it issues, manages certificates, and keeps track of like what's valid, what's not. A certification authority is basically required for what's called public key infrastructure, which is at least one certification authority, and then at least two parties that trust that certification authority. And by trusting that certification authority, then are able to trust each other. They can interact, they can send certificate-based network traffic to each other, messages, whatever it may be, right? And know with very good certainty that that it is truly, you know, the cat is truly talking to the dog. The dog is truly talking to the cat. No one has gotten in between their communication and messed with it at all.
So this is a transit of trust. This is the dog. The dog trusts AD terminology. The dog trusts the RAM. Doesn't trust the cat, but the RAM trusts the cat. So the dog is. Yeah. Reluctantly, I expect, going to trust the cat.
Yeah.
And you're a dog. You're clearly a dog person, and so then.
Oh, my cats are outside the door. They are. They are stuck away right now. So, but yeah, that's the basics. So, I mean, those are the basics of what you need to know in order to really understand what ADCS really does. So, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing right now, if that's okay.
Yeah. So what then? So that's the basics of public key infrastructures, but how does ADCS fit into that model? How do you take the PKI model and then shoehorn it into an Active Directory type infrastructure?
So one of the things that when you are like registering for a certificate through a more traditional PKI, right, you're creating a certificate signing request. I mentioned that earlier. That includes, you know, your name, your organization, your state, your whatever, your department, a lot of specifications in the RFCs that define these things. And then you're sending it to the certification authority or a registration authority. We'll not get into that distinction, but and they validate that information for you before issuing a certificate that says, yes, this certificate aligns with this set of data that this person provided, right? That process can be a little overwhelming at times, fraught, easy to make mistakes in, right? So the primary thing that most people recognize about ADCS that's different is that it uses certificate templates. So instead of saying, here, I'm going to fill out these 30 fields and then submit that, you just say, hey, I need a certificate that does this thing. And Active Directory Certificate Services will say, here's the certificate that does the thing. It figures all that stuff out for you. The templates really kind of make the process of administration a lot easier. As part of that, the request process of a certificate, right? Active Directory Certificate Services can go and validate your info from AD. It can just pull that info out of AD. It's super tight. So You don't need, like I said, you don't need to pull right. or fill in the 30 fields. It's just, it's there. It pulls it out.
Right.
And what has really caused some issues in the last 4 or 5 years is that those certificates that you receive, depending on how they're configured, can be used as authentication methods in Active Directory. You probably, you know, commonly see that as like smart card authentication, right? Or 802.1x authentication for computer accounts and stuff. So you don't require ADCS to do that, but ADCS has to be initially set up in the environment to then allow domain controllers to do public key authentication.
Right.
The things that make it a more Microsofty product, right? Mm-hmm. Traditional snap-in management. There's a, you know, once you install a certificate authority in your environment, you can use the certification authority snap-in. Everything you need to do is write in one little easy-to-use click, click, click
right.
GUI.
Right.
And even easier, like you mentioned it in the intro here, it's a server role. You can check one box and hit next, 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 finish, do a quick, you know, post-configuration, post-install configuration, and you have a certification authority stood up in your environment.
Right. And that is not necessarily the best configuration, but it's one that works, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Doing that next, 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 finish, install. If you go to Microsoft, go to learn.microsoft.com and look up ADCS and, you know, installation guide gives you what to do. And right at the top, it says, do not do this next, next, next finish install. This will create what is called a single tier infrastructure.
Right.
And what's the problem with the single tier infrastructure? Yes, one. Right. That, so your certification authority has no higher authority that's referring to. So if it gets compromised, you now have to burn down that single certification authority and first revoke all of the certificates that it ever issued. If you can, if you still have control of the authority, and then, you know, burn it all down and start fresh. A more secure method would be a multi-tier method, right? Where you've got one set of certification authorities that are like actually issuing certificates to end users that end users can see. But both, you know, those, we call those issuing CAs, they actually get their root of trust comes from a root certification authority, which lives offline. That's like what you were talking about, right? Yeah. The ceremonies. Using a hardware security module, you know, it's all tucked off in the corner under lock and key. Like, if that cage. Were to get compromised, in the cage, it's wild.
Yeah.
It's really comes down to that tight integration with Active Directory, though. Like, you were in the demo that I did a month ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people see Active Directory and certificate services as being these two separate things. And they trust each other and they interact with it. No. They are like right on top of each other. Like, you can make changes in Active Directory that then make changes in certificate services that then have ripple effects back into Active Directory. And it's just a mess.
Well, it brings up, Jake, an area that perhaps we'll have to explore in a future time is the consequences of a compromised AD to ADCS, and how do you regain trust in your authority if AD has been compromised, or vice versa? What are the implications in each direction?
We can actually jump a little ahead on that. I'll talk about that. Okay. I had a former customer that we were preparing to do an assessment for them, and they contacted us about a week before the assessment was meant to kick off and said, hey, you guys looking at our ADCS already? We're like,
mm-hmm.
No. Nope. Okay, we're going to have to put this on hold, right? And it was... They were able to identify very quickly that some weird stuff had happened at ADCS. I can't give any more details than that. But thankfully, the attacker was not skilled enough to take it much further. And so they were able to, you know, clamp everything down and get everything contained. And, but then they bumped our assessment out about 4 months afterwards because it really did. They just had to burn that entire ADCS part down. And then, I mean, everything, like they went scorched earth all the way up to right. the root and they were not taking any chances at all. While maintaining their Active Directory still.
Right.
And yeah, so it was really, really, really painful.
So I guess if there's a bright side of this, it was that the attacker didn't really understand ADCS well enough either.
Yeah. Island shrouded in mystery for everyone.
Yes,
really.
That's right.
Really is.
That's right. So what would you say are the primary use cases for ADCS in a, you know, in a Windows Server Active Directory enterprise? What is bread and butter?
I would say the things that I saw or have seen the most, honestly, are, you know, you've got internal websites like you talked about, and people just don't want to see that self-signed certificate warning anymore. RDP, right? RDP will warn you if it's not properly secured. That's what I've seen. But other things that I see and have seen in more mature environments is now, you know, smart card authentication, right? So instead of having your username and password, you've got a smart card that you plug in. You know, type in a PIN that unlocks the private key stored on that smart card, and then you can authenticate. That was less common. Secure LDAP, quite common. Code signing. I'm a PowerShell guy. I love PowerShell. Like that's, you know, one of the MVP areas that I have is PowerShell. Code signing is the coolest thing when it comes to PowerShell, right? You could just do all built in your environment. You can ship off scripts to people and they can run it in your environment knowing that this was the actual script that was intended to be sent. Yeah. So I love it. I would say that's it. There's some other weird stuff that you can do. I was looking through key attestation. What I don't remember. There's some other enhanced key usages,
right.
But as far as the ones right. that I've seen before, that's primarily it.
Is it in ADCS? So imagine that you're a Windows administrator and you have AD in your title. And so the management says, oh, well, ADCS, you probably know how to handle this as well. How do you take a crack at it? I mean, it we've established that ADCS is difficult to undo things once these are in place because all of the certificates that are everywhere depend on it. And then that they all break if you make the change. So here you are in this situation. You have an infrastructure that you may or may not understand really well. You have heard that there are vulnerabilities and attacks that can be done on the infrastructure. Where do you begin? How do you make things better? How do you attack that?
My first, and I hate to go here, my first recommendation would go read the Brian Komar. Is that he?
Brian Komar, yeah.
2008, Server 2008, public key infrastructure for, you know, it is still the Bible. Like I was reading, you know, and it's still the Bible.
Is this the
one? If you really want to learn
it. And if you're just not using it as a doorstop right now. So a little light reading. I don't think it's sitting over here on my bookshelf. I don't know if it's nearby, but it's substantial.
I had to put mine on my Kindle because I just couldn't carry it around.
Yeah.
That's what I had to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Electrons are light enough for me.
Yep.
But no, outside of that, there have been just in the last 4 years. So I mentioned that because 4 years ago, SpectreOps folks released a white paper called Certified Pre-Owned, where they kind of collated and produced some original research, but just took a bunch of research and just kind of threw it into a single document. It's about 150 pages. It's a fun, if you're a nerd, it's a fun read. It is actually, you know, it's very interesting just to see what they went through.
Let's go back. And what's the name of that again?
It's called Certified Pre-Owned. I did a talk about a year or in like 2022 where I split the timeline up to BCPO, so before CPO, mm-hmm. and ACPO, yeah, after certified pre-owned, because it really has kind of a shift. That gets a lot of the information about the security-related issues around Active Directory Certificate Services. And from there, like, there's just been a big push to get certificate services kind of tracked and figured out, including one of our own Sepris tools, Purple Knight, is loaded with, certificate services checks. So, yeah, that's a way to do it. And then once you get through Purple Knight and you see that you've got certificate services issue, I actually wrote a tool a few years ago now at this point called Locksmith that you can run, and it just kind of shows you your issues. And then you can run with a different mode, and it shows you how to fix your issues. So, yeah.
Okay, so Locksmith is designed to... So we're sort of approaching it from two viewpoints. We've got Purple Knight, which will look for security issues in ADCS, but you also have Locksmith, which will dive a little bit deeper into both the issues. And can you help remediate those issues, or...
Absolutely. So that was, I wrote it to be kind of the tool that I would have wanted before I understood what ADCS really was, right? Like, as I came from a small municipality where it was me basically handling the entire AD. And I just didn't have like the time to go read a 150 page document to figure out what I needed to do. So I wrote the tool. I took inspiration from Purple Knight. Purple Knight had just come out. I mean, I would consider maybe ADCS like Locksmith to be like maybe the little sister of Purple Knight in a way. But yeah, like finding the issues is all fine. But to me, it's that fixing piece. It's
right.
How do I fix this? And not in a generic way, okay, you should look for these things, blah, blah, blah. And this, oh, if you see this, you could do this, or you could do... I didn't want that.
Right.
Here's the code. This is for your environment. Boom. Go.
So that's it. Yeah. So this is... here are your issues, and here's what you can run to fix it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I do it in both. So there are multiple... There's like... If you just run the name Invoke Locksmith, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to give you a high level overview, give you severity ratings on each thing. Mm-hmm. And then you can run it in mode one, which then gives you a little more detail about, you know, why is something a problem? What is the actual, you know, what's the distinguished name of the template that has the problem, et cetera. And then code that you can literally read and then copy and paste into the same console you just ran Locksmith from and run it. And if you have, you know, if you're an Active Directory admin or whatever, then fix the issue.
Right.
And then if you're really trusting of me, don't do that. It actually has an auto fix mode as well, which I let languish for like a year and a half until somebody messaged me and was like, hey, the auto fix on this isn't working. I'm like, people are actually using the auto fix? What's going on? So I had to build that up a little bit, had to make that a little better. Yeah.
So what sort of, I mean, we don't need to dive into great detail, but what are common security issues that ADCS has that Locksmith fixes?
Auditing is disabled. Active Directory Certificate Services, out of the box, does not enable any auditing. So you think I don't know why. It seems like at least the barest minimum of something should be going to the security log, you'd think.
Right.
No. It's so that was far and away the most common one, is that's disabled. Thankfully, that's a really easy thing to enable. The next most common that I've seen in my history here is definitely what Certified Pre-Owned has called the ESC4. Fancy name for bad access controls, right? Domain users has the right to modify a template.
Oh, dear.
And far and away the most common. Like, and I'm saying, I think in one of our pre-interview that we did, I told you like 90% of issues would be, or I would see any environment that I had ECS, about 90% of those would have, you know, a pretty bad issue. I would say 95% of those bad issues were ESC4s. Like, it's just, it's so common to change one thing just to make it work. We've all done it.
Yep.
I'll go back and take care of that later. That's, you know, I'll lock it down later. It's fine. And then later comes 6 months down the road when APT 29 finds that you did not take care of it, right? And then there's like the granddaddy of them all, the ESC1, and it is number one for a reason, which is it allows a user, we'll say, to request a template, or sorry, request a certificate in the name of anyone in the forest. Just, I feel like being Sean Doobie today.
Right.
I'm gonna go request a certificate as Sean Doobie, and now I can authenticate. And you saw in my demo when I did it for us internally, it took me like 2 minutes.
Right.
And that was with me explaining what I was doing, right? Going through every single parameter of every single line of code that was on the screen. This is what this is doing. And it's still 2 minutes, beginning to end, done. So if we ever saw, when we see those in the wild, that is an immediate call to the customer. You need to fix this today. I don't care how, but you need to fix this today, right? Somebody could stumble over themselves backwards into it and take care of it. So, and then the other ones that were common were what's called an ESC2 and an ESC6. I'm not going to dig into the details of what those are, but the thing that's common about those is that both of them, whenever we found them, it was like 95% certain that they were tied to vendor documentation that told the customer to set things up insecurely.
Right.
Much like, oh, just throw it in domain admin, it'll work. Yeah, if you just enable this flag, things will work. Yeah, that's cool. It'll work. Yep.
Yeah, I had somebody once have I was having a conversation with them and they were talking about the rife problem of administrative service accounts for SQL Server having administrative rights. And they were able to point back to some influential blog post years and years ago that said that that's how it was to be done. And that's all it took. And so now, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes the one passed down knowledge, the one going back to that tribal knowledge mentioned earlier, like, and it's wild how that then perpetuates and then nobody goes back and tests it. Cause yeah, it works. It works as it's intended, you know? So, yeah.
So I guess to summarize here, what we're saying is, you know, assuming, okay, you're an ADCS owner, responsible person, or you're in security and you're concerned about it. What steps would you recommend? Now we've talked about Purple Note, we've talked about Locksmith, we've talked about the paper from Spectre Ops. What steps would you recommend to our audience to go make things better than they are today?
I would definitely start with Purple Knight. Purple Knight is great in, like, not only is it ADCS related stuff, right? It is everything AD related, security wise. You know, even some infrastructure stuff and availability stuff is also included in there. So it's great. I saw you talking just the other day about people being excited about, you know, their 20-point jumps in their score, right? And like, yeah, it's awesome. But once you hit those certificate things, like, it does require kind of a more focused tool. So at that point, bring in Locksmith. We'd love to have you. I'd love to have you download it and tell me what you think about it and tell me how it sucks and send me a message about it. It's up on GitHub, very, very responsive to issues and stuff. So feel free to come on out. And then after you've done that, come to HIP in October because I'll be talking about ESC. Look at that.
Last year. Yep.
Nice. So I'll be talking about how we've all had this issue, right? You get an assessment, you get a bunch of highs and criticals, you resolve those, and the mediums and the lows, you throw them out, right?
Yep.
You're like, I got bigger stuff, bigger fish to fry. Entire talk in October is about how those mediums and low findings can be chained together to then create critical issues. So little discussion about graph theory and attack paths, but mostly it really, really strictly focused on ADCS issues. So, and how those could be tied together.
Well, I know you're an upper Midwesterner, so you're going to tie this into like fishing for perch and pan frying a bunch of small perch instead of large fish or something like that, or.
I like that. I'm more of a walleye fan. But,
That's very much a upper Midwest kind of a thing, but I didn't remember how large walleye are. So I can't.
Small enough to fit in my belly. That's all that matters.
Okay, Jake. Well, this is great. I appreciate your insight into this because, you know, certificate services is a little bit of a black box for a lot of people, right? Even if they understand it in principle, try to look their way around and understand the way it works and having external tools to help you. I mean, even if you don't understand it as good as you might like to understand it, it's more important to understand where the vulnerabilities are and how to fix them. And you can work on the deep understanding as that goes.
The funny thing about it though, like, is a lot of the issues still that are out there. What did I mention? Access controls.
Right.
Right. Misconfiguration. Like these aren't getting into what makes certificates scary, right? It's not, you're not decrypting anything. You're not figuring out ways to do, what do they call them? Known message attacks. You're not doing collisions and things to fix. It's literally Active Directory stuff that can be easily solved and understood in an Active Directory paradigm, right? It is access controls, least privilege.
Right.
Yeah. The same stuff that we always harp on, right?
Well, and you've taken steps to make yourself more secure and make your, as Rachel Wilson, I saw her give a keynote at a conference earlier in the year. She is a former offensive security or whatever for the NSA. She ran the group of the ones that were exempt from the thou shalt not do that sort of a thing. And she used the pair or the analogy of you don't want to be the slowest gazelle in the herd. So if you can secure it, that just helps, it gives you one more step to offensive operations. That was it. To making yourself a little bit more secure.
Absolutely. So don't need to be faster than the bear, just need to be faster than the guy beside you.
That's exactly right. So you've got your actions here to go forth and look at Locksmith. And of course you can just search for Locksmith and Jake's last name, or you could probably just do Locksmith Jake and it'll probably come up with it. Look at Purple Knight to help look at your vulnerabilities in there. It's semperis.com/purple-knight. If you found this useful, to subscribe to the podcast and visit semperis.com and look around for identity security. And this podcast is sponsored by Semperis. So thanks again, Jake. And I'll probably be seeing you on a Teams call sometime in the near future.
I hope so.